superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You'll bring that person to South Beach?
I like that strip pole, girl.
Honestly, if you're the Knicks, you bring Harden in the city that never sleeps?
I like that strip pole, girl.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
Started the NBA season.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. Coming up, CBS Sports NFL analyst Rich Gannon. 17-year NBA veteran Richard Jefferson. Plus, co-host of Peacock. Brother from another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're going to have a great chat with Richard Jefferson joining us in about 20 minutes' time. Rich Gannon will join us in about an hour from now, and it's the Rich Eisen Show. So it's an embarrassment of riches. You see what I'm saying right there? Do you know what I'm saying, Chris?
Hey, now.
All right. Good to see Mike Del Tufo back in his chair. We had a great chat with DK Metcalf. He's had enough of the memes of him running down Buda Baker. He says he's seen enough of that, and then added for a good measure, sick of seeing the shirtless photographs of him. And I told him as a 51-year-old man, do not ever say that again. I don't know if he took that under advisement. He's listening more to Bobby Wagner, as he also said. He says he talks to Bobby B-Wags every Thursday. Seems like they have chats every Thursday. Talk about football. Talk about life. Young man, take a seat next to me, says the center and captain of that Seattle defense. I thought that was a great story that he said that he sits next to Bobby Wagner, and they're looking out at the practice field. And Bobby Wagner points out that somebody's wearing Earl Thomas's number, somebody's wearing Cam Chancellor's number, and those guys were terrific for Seattle, but no one's ever going to wear this number when he's done with this uniform, says Bobby Wagner. And DK Metcalf nods his head and goes and balls out. And I just love stories like that. I just absolutely adore stories like that. And so it was a great chat with DK Metcalf. We're going to start posting some of the best on our Twitter handle, at Rich Eisen Show. It'll be on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. It'll be on this spot right up here. If you're watching on Peacock, the tab at the top of your screen that reads Sports is how you can find our show when we're off the air. The tab right here that says Channels is where you can find us when we're on the air. Every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time, you could check us out. Michael Smith and Michael Holly are on Brother from Another on NBC Sports on Peacock. When we are done, we will take you to their show. Michael Smith will join us in the final part of the hour. And Richard Jefferson, who is co-hosting the Sports Illustrated Awards this weekend with Lindsey Vonn and Carrie Champion and Chad Ochocinco, a Friday Rich Eisen Show guest.
All right.
He will be joining us in about 17 minutes time when we'll talk about various items up for bids in the association. And we'll talk a little bit about Harden. We'll talk a little about Giannis. We'll talk quite a little bit more about Harden. You know what? When this pandemic is over, I cannot wait to go to Las Vegas to work out. That'll be great.
Work out.
Yeah, you know, when
dice throwing.
This is exactly this is what is, try this one at home. Essentially, is what I'm telling all the gents out there. Okay, in wonderful marriages and wonderful relationships, give this one a whirl post pandemic. Go to Las Vegas. Okay. And go to Las Vegas for a good long while. And post you having a great time in Las Vegas, Nevada, on your social channels for all the world and your friends to see. Yeah. And then when you say to your loved one, I want to go to Vegas again. Or, you know, when you come home and then your spouse says, what the hell were you doing in Vegas? Why did you stay so long? Why were you there? Why do you want to go back there? You say, I'm just working out. Personal trainers are there. Try that one on for size. See how that flies.
And then when you're asked, what are you working out for? Just state your occupation.
Yeah, my job.
Yeah, I'm working out for my job.
Yeah, working out for, what else?
For the Rich Eisen show.
What else do you think I'm working out for? How do you think all those honey buns get created? My job. That just cracked me up.
I just love you say honey buns almost every day.
Why?
Hey, why wouldn't we?
Honey buns.
What's wrong with that? I'm talking about food and bricks of $100,000 of cash.
I'm waiting for my Rich Eisen show.
What else do you call them? When I have bricks of $100,000 in cash, I call them honey buns. What do you call them?
I usually wake up because that would be a dream.
By the way, I'm bringing that same attitude Harden brought to the Zoom with the media yesterday.
He did not want to be there. Uninterested.
I went to Atlanta and Vegas to work out. Why? You could have worked out with your teammates. My personal trainers are there. Like, what's your problem? It's your malfunction. And again, I'll repeat it here again. It comes across as attitude. And the reason why he has the attitude is because he feels that it's unfair to call what he did in Las Vegas and Atlanta disruptive. It's not fair to point him and paint him as a disruptive presence when he did work out there, when he's done this his whole career. And his career is at a point where the team that did, in fact, allow him to basically do whatever the hell he wanted to do no longer gives him the best chance to actually win, which he says he is all about. And his play has unfortunately not brought him the ultimate prize, whether it's his own doing or the doing of the chemistry of the team that's been put around him. And he's like, I am a superstar in this league, former sixth man who has built a career of being an elite, internationally renowned athlete. By living my life the way that I have, I'm just continuing to do it. I know that it's a pandemic and you're all telling me I should be masked up. Did I test positive for COVID? No, I didn't. Did I show up? Yeah, I did. Am I ready to play? Yeah. Do I want to be here? No, but you know that. And the reason why I can go wherever I want is because Kawhi did. Yeah, he had to stop in Toronto first, and he won a championship there, but he wound up wherever he had to go, right? Anthony Davis did, right? He wound up wherever he wanted to go. Jimmy Butler wound up bouncing around before he wound up in a spot where he kind of really digs it, but at least he got out of Minnesota, right? Isn't that the way it works? That's the way it should work for me. Russ even got out. So I want out. Why am I not out? And why are you asking me why I was in Vegas and Atlanta? I was working out with my trainers. Just happened to be Lil Baby's birthday and I brought honey buns. Real, why do you laugh at that?
Real and figurative.
I do not have an overbite when I'm saying it. I think I'm giving you a sense of why he's... If I had to guess, having been around the block covering superstar athletes and working alongside many of them, I think that that's... I don't think that many of the NFL superstar athletes that I've been around would approve of what Rod Woodson's saying is hooting with the owls. You can't soar at the eagles when you hoot with the owls in the middle of the night. But it's worked out for James Harden, right? He's 31 years old, right?
31.
Again, my problem is that what happens when that lifestyle finally does burn its way into his effectiveness on the court? It's going to have to. I mean, you can't play forever, and you can't live that lifestyle forever, and your body doesn't react to it adversely. I mean, do you want that moment to? You want that clock to strike midnight when you're on the hook for nine figures for multiple years? And I'll just say this. I got into it on Twitter with somebody who, Warren Sapp started on Twitter when I was working with him. And I gave him some advice. I told him, get the @QBKilla off there.
QB killer.
Don't do that. It's at Warren Sapp. Your name is your, I know your nickname is your brand, but your name is your brand. That's it. You're at Warren Sapp. That's what you should be. And he returned a favor to me when he started getting, you know, close to a million followers. Now he's off it. Don't respond to anybody with less than three figures on Twitter if they're coming at you.
Right.
Respond. You could, if somebody wants to have a good conversation or tell you something about what you've done, and it seems to be like to have a conversation. Doesn't matter if they have one follower or a million. But if they're coming at you and trolling you, don't give them any extra oomph. And certainly don't retweet them. You know, hey, you've got five followers. Now you've got a million because I'm retweeting you in response to your trolling. So somebody, you know, came at me yesterday, and I feel bad because this individual got hammered by a bunch of people on Twitter. A blue check mark, which is one of the reasons why I did see it, and over 1,000 some odd followers. Another reason why I saw it. Because there was some NBA site.
One of the aggregates.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That picked up what I said on this show yesterday. And the headline was, Rich Eisen would not trade Tyler Hero for James Harden or Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, you know I've been saying here for a long time that I don't think the Heat should have broken their team up for Giannis. I just didn't think that. Right. I know I've been disabused of that notion by many people who are expert in the craft. Richard Jefferson joining us in 10 minutes being one of them, right? Didn't he say that? When I thought that this guy who called him a Pippin
right.
would have my back.
Right.
And he basically said, you're out of your mind, Rich. Yeah, if you can get Giannis, you should get Giannis. So, you know, I'm open to criticism on that one. But the headline made it seem like I would not trade Tyler Hero straight up for Giannis. And certainly, I would not trade Tyler Hero as part of a package for Harden, as I've made it known. Because I am concerned that the clock on his lifestyle not affecting his play, based on the reporting that I'm seeing from Tim McMahon of ESPN and ESPN.com, I don't want that clock to strike midnight when he's on my ledger for nine figures for many years. I'd be concerned about that. Now, if I'm an owner and I've got somebody like Pat Riley telling me, by the way, if I'm Mickey Arison, right, I got this big, beautiful yacht, I own a mansion in the yacht or whatever, and I've got Pat Riley saying, I got this. Okay, then you got this, Pat. I will delegate gladly to Pat Riley. But I'm loath to trade Tyler Hero as a package for Harden. So somebody came at me and waved the. This is, as you know, the stick to sports thing is, it's something that bothers me. I'm not going to lie. But the thing that makes it worse is stick to football.
Stick to football. Rich, stick to football, man.
And, you know, the stick to football is like waving a red flag in front of a bull. Like, we're in Pamplona here, okay, if you're going to be doing that. And I know they just run in the streets, that it's not like an actual Toreador situation. But I saw that, and, you know, I always shoot you straight here. I had a glass of wine in me, and
just one.
Yeah, it's just yeah. Oh,
okay,
I mean, we salute. I'm not Harden. I mean, it didn't affect your travel schedule last night, did I?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you know, I mean, I just had one, right? And so I saw it, and I'm like, first of all, the headline stinks, and secondly, you know, I was on an all sports show called SportsCenter. I literally did type those words out. I regret it.
Funkmaster Flex.
I mean, I was in something called SportsCenter.
Big resume flex.
Drop a bomb on the
and
flex.
So, long before, and I saw in his handle that he's a podcaster, and I shouldn't have, look, I have nothing but great respect for podcasts. This show was born out of a podcast. I shouldn't have done it, and I apologize to this gentleman because he obviously took it in a way that many people were coming at him, and he like was my timeline was filled with.
Drag him, Rich.
And then him going back to other people, and it, you know, but I did finish with a little you know, nod to him that, because I did notice on his Twitter bio, two things that I fully endorse. One is Yankee fandom, mm-hmm. and the other is the guy hates Caillou. And and I said to him, at least we've got the Yankees and Caillou in common. Now, those people out there, clearly you know who the New York Yankees are. Caillou, if you're not aware, is
a
Canadian cartoon construct, the old triple C right there, that, Chris, you will find out soon enough. Okay, Cage, you will be introduced to the world of children's programming.
Oh, we put it on when he wakes up for about 20 minutes.
Caillou?
You let him watch just whatever the DirecTV kids channel.
Okay, no, but it's all there. Okay, it's there, and he soon will make his own choices, and sometimes you will have to endure. Like, it's been a long time since I've heard the Thomas the Train theme. Again, my children are now 12, 9, and 7. You know, you will push them. You will push him towards things that you like.
Of course.
You know, Sesame Street would definitely be a suggestion for you.
No doubt.
As you know, C is for Cookie, but C is also, unfortunately, for Caillou, the Canadian cartoon construct who just only bitches about everything. And it is just like you're sitting here thinking, why am I trying to teach my child to complain and my child to essentially – become someone used to feeling that it's a world of grievance, that the world is like you just very rare as somebody in the world, an adult who understands the fragility of youth and children and respecting it and trying to be understanding, very rare that you as an adult would rage at a cartoon on the screen and just say, grow some spine, man.
It's aggressive.
You don't look at a child cartoon and wonder, when is this kid going to grow a pair? Like, literally is what you think of when you're watching Caillou.
Yeah. It's a lot. That's a lot.
It's been a while since I've raged against that machine, but I'm doing it. Because it happened on Twitter last night. So the moral of the story is, one, headline writers, do better, okay? Two, thank you for spelling my name right. I should at least say that. And three, if you're going to come at me with stick to football, make sure it's not in my drinking hours. And four.
Were you drinking the Murcielago or what was it?
Four.
And Montecello?
Rule number
four.
Oh,
yeah, what type of red did you have last night?
Last night it was a little Barolo.
Oh, Barolo.
A little Barolo.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, Bill, not to be misconstrued with former NFL ref and Big Ten head of officials, Bill Carollo. But this is Barolo, a little Barolo last
now,
night.
We're at the end of 2020. Now, everyone's drinking hours seemingly have been expanded this year.
Yes.
What specifically are yours these days?
I don't know. It's
just
like,
so people know.
I do not on weekdays adhere to the it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
You wait till actual 5 o'clock?
I wait till it's 5 o'clock here.
Got it.
When I start thinking about it.
Okay.
And then right around like 7 or 8 is when I won't go for more than 2.
Got it.
And they're just little cups. It's not like big, huge glasses of wine. It's not like I'm...
No, we're not out to eat or anything.
No.
Right. It's just
just a little... Yeah, wet my beak a little bit.
A little nipper.
A little sip. A little bit of the air, but
shot.
Rule number four, see rule three, which is do not come at me with stick to football on my drinking hours, which is around 8 to 10 Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific.
Fantastic.
All right.
You know, I love you snapping to someone on Twitter.
I know you love it. And you love it when I have no chill. You like it when I'm chillless.
Just because there's times where I do a lot of the Twitter and Instagram and I'll get a text or a phone call from Rich and I know it's coming and they'll be like, TJ, what did you just tweet? So Rich doesn't like me to answer the haters and the trollers,
no,
but when
I don't.
He does it, I love it personally.
No, I don't like it because certainly from the show account, I want to have an air of come one, come all, okay? And if you have a problem with a take, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But you can't just swipe it away with the stick to the one sport that where you've been known for 17 years when you've, prior to that, had a career in all sports that led to the 17, 18 years in the NFL, which has been overlapped Venn diagram style with 6+ years of all sports talk here on the show.
Right.
So,
you know,
again,
It's a lazy. It's a lazy art.
It can't just. It's and stick to sports, as you know, is dead. In my mind, when there are sports entities that are out there that are interviewing the current president of the United States right now, that rail on people who so-called politicize sports, you can't have it both ways. I mean, you can, but
you can't.
You can't and say stick to sports, and then the stick to football. It really is just again an hour's 5 Pacific to 7 Pacific, and you got a blue check mark, and you got about a nice following, and you're going to retweet a headline that is misleading, the Twitter horns are going to come out. That's all I'm saying.
He backtracked and apologized, it looks like. So
no, it's got nothing. And I feel bad because his Twitter, because he was going back and forth with people that are coming at him, and he wanted to show that he's not afraid of people coming. I mean, it was just a bunch of stuff. And after a while, I just kind of felt like, okay.
I'll rain down my judgment and we'll move forward.
We'll move forward because it's high on my damn agenda when you say
stick. Because it's high on my damn agenda.
When you say stick to football.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle.
All right. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Sports Illustrated Awards with the co-host of the Sports Illustrated Awards, Richard Jefferson, who I'm sure wants to stay in Los Angeles to party, affecting everybody's travel schedules because he's got a little bit of the Harden in him. We'll talk about that next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Oh, yeah. Bayside's back, baby. And Peacock's got him. Get so excited. Is that it?
Yeah, you're getting better. You're getting better.
I need to look up the Elizabeth Berkley YouTube and
real
stuff like
clip.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
A Peacock original, Saved by the Bell. It is on Peacock streaming right now. Insanely popular, I might add, as well. Saved by the Bell. Mario Lopez, Elizabeth Berkley, John Michael Higgins, right? The host of America Says.
Game Show Network.
Cooper cannot get enough of that game show. He loves it.
We're a Family Feud house.
But boy. Oh, we're... Oh,
let's play the feud!
Of course.
Die Hard Feud. Love Steve
Harvey. That was my call of on the highlights. Let's play the feud whenever there was a fight.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when I was on an all-sports show called SportsCenter.
Oh, were you on?
I don't know if you saw a tweet of mine last night.
What did you do there?
I was a host of an all sports show called Sports Center.
Oh man,
really?
Good for you.
I'm ashamed. I should be ashamed of that. 844-204 is number to dial. This is going to be a lot of fun. Sports Illustrated Awards. This man is co-hosting these awards alongside Ocho Cinco and also Kerry Champion and also Lindsey Vonn. Saturday, December 19th at 7 Eastern Time across 20 or more platforms, including SportsIllustratedAwards.com, YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, Twitter, and more. Kids are going to dig it. Richard Jefferson here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Richard?
I am great. How are you doing, Rich?
I am doing fine. So this is taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. When
you are there, are you going to say hello to James Harden's trainers or just drop something off for a little baby? What are you doing there, Richard?
You know what's so funny and so crazy is that when we actually recorded it, it's taped, so it's not live streamed because, you know, streaming can be a little glitchy.
Sure.
Especially when you're trying to get multiple people in.
Of course.
It was eerily quiet in Vegas. I was a little disappointed. I'd been sitting here in L.A.,
yes.
You know, behaving myself, staying out of trouble. And I was like, oh, I get to go to Vegas. Maybe, okay, well, it looks like James is having a good time. I got there. There was nothing.
What's going on?
I was like, where did they find this party?
I don't know.
I was surprised.
Maybe you're not getting the proper invitations anymore, Richard.
Well, or they imported the party. I'm just I'm telling you, Vegas was eerily, like, you couldn't sit at a restaurant with more than four people. So I was just like, like, how did James Harden gain all this weight if this is the Vegas he was hanging out in? I was confused.
So what do you make of all this, Richard? I mean, about with Harden and his his clear desire to leave Houston, but he wasn't there when training started with his teammates. He was in Vegas, and when asked yesterday, he said he was there to train because his personal trainers were there. I mean, what's your take on all this?
None of those things matter. Like, this is all like, you know, he said, she said, well, with this, and it's like none of that stuff matters. What matters is this, is that James Harden is unhappy. Now, he is one of the, you know, the best scorer in the NBA, you know, until we see what, you know, Kevin Durant is doing. He's the best scorer in the NBA. He's had one of the best five-year stretches of any player in the history of the game. Is he still a high-level player? Is he still a top seven, you know, player in the league? 100%. The question is like, has he devalued himself? Not from the point of, like, he's not going to be tradable, but – you know, the way Houston is looking at him right now, it's like any team that would get him, including considering the year, like, you know, that's the difference between one more pick. That's the difference between one more player, him not coming in shape, him not. And I think sometimes, and I'm not going to speak for James, but sometimes players do this to show people, it's like, hey, this is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get if you're going to keep me someplace that I don't want to be, or if we've had communications about me leaving. I think both sides are wrong in this situation. I think, you know, James needs to show a little bit more professionalism. I think Houston needs to really listen to their players. And if you're getting rid of the coach and the GM is leaving and you trade the star player, one of the other star players, then if you don't have a commitment from James, then you need to give an individual like this that has given your franchise so much, you need to give him an opportunity to move on.
And, you know, the issue with a player saying, I'm going to not report, I'll show up out of shape because this is what you're going to get if you don't trade me. If I'm the other team, I'm wondering, you know, but for the grace of God, go I, because this is what he's doing to the team that basically let him figure out the travel schedules and do everything for the last several years. I mean, that's the other side of this coin that I don't know if Harden's potentially looking at, because maybe he's thinking, I am a top 5-7 player. It doesn't matter.
You're right. And look, like I said, both sides are at fault. Look, I've played with Dirk. I've played with Jay Kidd. I've played with LeBron James. I've played with Tim Duncan. I've been so fortunate to play. Yes, star players do dictate the travel schedule because it's not a matter of making one individual happy, but it's just like, yo, your best player has the pulse of the team. They understand the locker room. It's like, you know, if you're going to, let's say, go out, I've been on a plane where it was, you know, we were in San Antonio and we were going to have an extra night and Pop would go to Tim, like, Tim, you know, do you want to stay here one night? Do you want to get there early? And then Tim would tell all the guys, like, all right, guys, look, we got an extra night in New York, so let's make sure we get our rest tonight. You guys don't have to, like, go and rush out and try and have as much fun in New York. Let's go to dinner. Let's get our night. Let's get our rest. And then the next night we can go have fun, right? So now Tim is, like, controlling, like, the group from the sense of, like, hey, guys, let's all be responsible. I just talked to Pop. We got an extra night in Vegas. Or we got an extra night in New York. Let's be responsible on the front end so we can go have some fun on the back end. That type of stuff happens all the time. It's happened with almost every star player I've been a part of. So I'm not even big on the narrative of James Harden gets whatever he wants. Has James Harden produced? Has James Harden done all the things that he needed to as a player outside of winning a championship? Yes, James has been one of the baddest men on the planet for one of the longest stretches that we've seen. So I don't even buy into that narrative like they've given him everything he wants and it was, you know, his way or the highway. But there's also some residuals to that. You have to make sure that he's held accountable. Is he staying in shape? Is he doing all the things that are necessary for your team to be successful? And currently, it doesn't look like he is.
Yeah, what an interesting conversation this is, Richard Jefferson. I want to continue on with this a little bit more. Have you ever been on a team, though, where the star player alters the travel schedule and doesn't clear it with the rest of the team in the same way that you just mentioned that Tim Duncan made sure that it was copacetic with everybody and it was all with the mindset of let's take care of business first and then we can have a party in the back, if you will, like a mullet? were you ever on a team where that wasn't set up in that way, that the star player did it?
Because you have to understand, like, at the end of the day, when you say best player or you say this, like, we're all teammates. Right. We're all brothers. We're all in this together. And you understand, you see the teams that are in, you know, let's say a smaller market and they might, you know, if you're in the Western Conference and you only go to Miami one time, right? If you're in the Eastern Conference and you only, you know, go to LA, maybe it's one time because you have two games. Like, this is stuff that it happens all, and we're not even talking about special treatment. We're more talking about, hey, what do you guys want to do? Now, James, right, if you guys want to go out on Friday night, if you guys want to go out on Tuesday night, then we got to get a practice in, or we got to go do this. What do you think, right? And it's not, you're not speaking to James. You're speaking to the team. You're speaking to the leader, the captain, the guy on your team. And I've been on teams where it was Bron and James Jones, right? Or, you know, Kyrie, like, what do you think? So if this happens, like, that type of stuff, I think, is a bad narrative. I've never been on a team. I've never been on a plane where a guy was, oh, well, I want to stay in Memphis because this is my hometown for two nights. It's like, no, that doesn't happen. Everybody travels. Everybody's typically in their mid-20s, early 30s, and they just want to go and have a good time. And a lot of times the captain is the one that kind of helps work with the coaches, because the coaches can go to the captain and it's like, all right, you're the captain, you're the team. If you guys go and blow this and we lose to the Knicks, we're gonna have practice at 9 a.m. The bus is going to leave at 9 a.m. the next day. Right. So now you put it on the captain, and the captain's like, all right, guys, let's get our rest. We can go and enjoy and have a day off the next day.
So while we're in the midst of real talk then, Richard Jefferson, then you suss this out for me. Put your analyst hat on as well, as a former player. Then why is this narrative put out there? What's happening here?
I think this, it's the same thing. It's like when you had certain Clippers that were frustrated with their preferential treatment of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Well, okay, go win a Finals MVP, go win two championships, go be a top three, you know, MVP vote getter, or top five MVP vote getter like Paul George was two seasons ago, and you can get preferential treatment also, right? Like, so that's the thing, is like these little unnamed sources, these little drops, and all of these things. If James Harden was so unbearable, then there wouldn't be, Daryl Morey wouldn't have left and been trying to trade for him. Like this is any given Sunday and Al Pacino is trying to go get Willie Beeman on his team. Like, hey, the first move I made, I'm bringing Willie on my, it's like, yeah, if he was such a problem, you wouldn't have been trying to get him. So I think these narratives a lot of times are just a part of the news cycle. Is he out of shape? 100%. Should Houston trade him, and should he most likely have been traded before it got to this point? Yes. But if you would have traded for him, let's say 5 days ago, and he would have showed up in Milwaukee, Miami, Brooklyn, you would have looked at him and you would have been like, oh, hell no. Like, you got to lose 15 pounds before you have an ACL, before you hurt something,
right,
and you try and go and play at a high level. Like, I wouldn't even let him pick up a basketball for the next 10 days, 2 weeks.
So what about the idea, Richard, that at some point this lifestyle, whether it again is fair or not to say that it is disruptive team-wise, and you say that that's a bad narrative, but what about the idea that at some point that's going to catch up and have a diminishing returns on the basketball court, and you don't want to be on the hook for millions upon millions of dollars if that clock strikes midnight?
I don't think that clock is striking midnight anytime soon for James Harden.
Okay.
Anytime soon. He's too skilled. He's too talented. Could he play off the ball? Yes. Is he good with the ball in his hands? Yes. Understand, James Harden, whether he's, you know, 10 pounds less or 10 pounds now, really where he is right now, is still one of the top players in the league. It's like Kevin Durant coming off Achilles. I don't care if he's coming off an Achilles injury. If he's healthy and he's on this court, his skill set allows him to be a top 10 basketball player, even with that injury. Now, does James Harden need to make sure that he's in shape to get, if he wants to go, because this is the thing, Milwaukee's looking at this, Brooklyn's looking at this, Philly's looking at this, and they're going to look at Houston and be like, yo, this guy doesn't want to be here. This guy is out of shape. Like, we're taking on somewhat of a, we're bringing in some issues. And so I think teams are going to look at that situation and basically say, like, hey, you know, maybe the offer is a little bit lower, because the longer he sit there, the more grumpy he's going to get. And it's only going to make the offer lower. I won't say lower and lower, because James is still, he's box office. Like, he's one of the guys that, like, you will pay for. But I just think it definitely affects the negotiation.
Oh, man. So would you break up your, I'll do this again with you, because, you know, with Giannis, we had this conversation over the summer. Would you break up the Heat if you're Pat Riley? Would you break it up and tell Coach Spo, we're bringing in Harden and it's COVID time, but let's get as much practice as we can, get him in shape as much as we can, and let's figure this thing out. And you know, names like Hero or Adebayo, Dragic maybe might be gone. I mean, would you do that?
When you look at cores, right? I would say the Brooklyn Nets have the best core of guys after their two superstars. Then I think you would go to Miami. When you're talking about Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, and like when you're talking about those guys, that just it hurts. It hurts to let go of those assets.
Of course,
it does. It does. Like even just as a fan, right? And how like popular they are now. James Harden is going to do what he does. If you can get a commitment from James, like if you bring him in and he's willing to sign an extension, one thing you know about Miami is they don't play. It don't matter if it's LeBron James, D-Wade, Jimmy Butler. You're going to get in shape, and Pat Riley doesn't play games. So if you're going to get an extension, you're going to eventually get the best version of James Harden, and it could take a couple of months. But yes, I would, but that would be hard. I would try and give up as many picks versus like a Tyler Hero or a Bam Adebayo.
And then keep an eye on South Beach. I'm serious. You know what I mean? Like, there's no concern about that?
No, I think there's still going to be a level of professionalism that it's going to take.
Right.
I think James Harden has a window, and this is real. I think he's got three more years as a top five player, and then I think he's got two more years after that as a top 10, top 12 player. Right, like that's just my humble opinion, but I don't think you worry about the extracurricular because Miami, you know, like you've watched enough basketball, you've seen enough. Pat Riley doesn't care that it's in Miami. Miami is just a tool to help recruit players. Once you're there, you're in a boot camp. You're in a boot camp. That's the way it is. They're checking body fats, you know, every week, similar to what they do in San Antonio. They're not playing. There's never been any player that's gone to Miami and said, like, oh, I just partied the whole time, and that's why I wasn't successful.
Wow. You just gave me a great idea here, Richard, you know, and I feel for the guys that are working here. Guys, what do you think? We should institute a body fat check here, right?
100% of body fat, body mass index check. I mean,
that's 100%. A horrible idea.
They're already having a rough week because they're already having a terrible week because I picked up a few notes on how to talk to the crew from Tom Cruise, and now this. Yes. This is a rough week for everybody here.
That's a terrible idea.
That's the thing, and that's the weird thing. Imagine the combination. The combination is pop. He checks your body fats and talks to you like you're Tom Cruise, like he's Tom Cruise. That's a rough combination. And you're not even in Miami. You're in San Antonio. That's
Mission Impossible.
Are you kidding me? That's a sequel nobody wants to watch.
Yeah, that's MI0. Like, you don't want any part of that.
Yeah. Oh my God, I was definitely the villain. Like, villains don't make the sequel, right? Make the sequel in San Antonio.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday, 7 Eastern time for the Sports Illustrated Awards. You and Carrie Champion chat. We got Ocho on tomorrow's show to talk more about it, and Lindsey Vonn. And the thing I really like about it is this year the award goes to 5 athlete activists. So it's not just about what you're doing on the court or on the field or on the ice, or anywhere. It's often. So you've got LeBron, Naomi Osaka, Patrick Mahomes, Breonna Stewart, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who opted out of
that. That name was a lot of fun to say on set.
I know, but his story may be the most impressive one, with him not playing and defending the Chiefs' title, but he's up in Canada on the front lines battling COVID because he's a doctor. We try to get him on this Wednesday. He unfortunately had to cancel because he had extra rounds. Like, this is literally what's happening with him.
And what's so cool, and I think it just shows where we really are, like, I think as a planet and as a country and as a movement, is that the 5 best athletes, that everyone looks at Breonna Stewart, everyone looks at Patrick Mahomes, everyone looks at LeBron James, and you're like, yes, they're all worthy of the Sports Person of the Year award. But the fact that you add activists to it, and you're like, oh wow, Patrick Mahomes maybe, you know, arguably on pace to be, you know, one of the great American athletes. Let's just forget about football. LeBron James and what he's accomplished in the last year. On top of it, the best athletes in the world are activists or are using their voice to help increase a positive change, not just in our country, but like around the world. And that's really, I think that is something that I think Sports Illustrated did a great job of, like, hey, not only are they the best athletes and they are deserving of the Sports Person of the Year, they're also great activists. So let's really like lean into that and point out all the positive things that they're doing.
Yeah, and it's going to stream across 20 or more platforms, over 20 platforms on Saturday. So it's current, it's up to speed. And, you know, anything I should ask Ocho? He didn't offer to give you Debo's, did he?
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't. Ocho, man, he was so much fun. He was just honestly like a lot of fun on set. Lindsey Vonn, Carrie Champion, obviously keeping us all together and locked in and having fun. It was a great set. Like Sports Illustrated was amazing. Some great performances. Steve Aoki, you get Shaq out in the DJ booth.
Fantastic.
We had Gucci Mane. It was just honestly, they put on the event and obviously a lot of it is recorded, but it's like to have like a 10-person Steve Aoki, you know, Coachella set be done was pretty interesting to just kind of be the only people there watching him put on this amazing set for the people that are going to get to watch it at home.
Fantastic. And the reason why I mentioned him offering you Debo's is Ocho told me he was going to get me Debo's. I'm still waiting for them. And he offered them. He offered them to me at the 2009 Pro Bowl.
No, and you didn't take him?
He hasn't delivered them, Richard. It's 11 years waiting. And tomorrow I will bring the receipt, and it will be a phenomenal conversation.
It's a great conversation. Oh. I cannot wait. I will be tuning in.
Literally, over a decade, I've been waiting and in the weeds for Ocho, it'll be great. But we'll promote this wonderful event tomorrow. Thanks for the time. I love chatting with you, man. And I can't wait for the pandemic to be over because we're right around the corner from you here in Southern California. We'll get you in here.
Oh, you're going to be so annoyed when I just show up at the studio.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm going to be so annoyed.
Not at all.
Rich, such a big fan. Grew up watching you, man.
Thanks. These guys are laughing because
I just turned 40 this year, but you got to understand, like, You're a legend in the game. I've been doing this since I was in high school, watching SportsCenter, the late, great Stuart Scott and Dan Patrick and all of you guys. I just want to say, man, anytime I get a chance to talk to you, it just takes me back to when I was a kid and I used to get to watch you on SportsCenter.
I appreciate it, Richard. Now go do your homework.
All right, guys.
Take care. That's RJ. Richard Jefferson. Yeah. RJeff24 Twitter.
Yeah, I told you, RJ and I are the same age. So, you know, grew up watching you.
Rich, I was already grown up when I was watching you, just so you know. Make you feel better.
No, you know what? It means that I've been doing it a while.
Legend in the game.
I've been at it longer than you think.
Right.
And everyone's, you know, wondering how it's gonna wind up. And that's what makes me like Lamar Jackson.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Just stick to football.
Yeah. Yes. Stick to football.
Well done, sir.
Stick to football.
Hey, you know, speaking of partying, I spent a few great nights at Richard's apartment in Tribeca when he played for the Nets.
Okay.
Back in
the day. That's okay. This is our annual let's find out what TJ's talking about. It was literally at this point in the show yesterday. He goes, you know, I was in Kingpin. Right?
Yeah. I was in Kingpin.
Literally is when we were going to break at the end of hour two is when he said that. So just like yesterday, we'll be right back to unpack what in the hell has TJ Jefferson been up to. And your calls at 844-204-RIDGE.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year if there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you agree.
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Jaws, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I just can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C-note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.
Hey, everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now. You guys like it when I talk about my personal life.
Right? Oh, yeah. We love it, Rich.
It's relatable, man.
And I've witnessed a lot of it happen. So.
It's always good.
I got some items to bring up here. No, I do.
Caillou?
You know, Caillou is not. We have been a Caillou free zone, thankfully, for almost about like 8 years running. Like, we banned Caillou from the house a long time ago.
Bro, so Taylor didn't get the Caillou experience. Good job.
F no. We're back here in the Rich Eisen Show. Body or 1090. My guys are here are always trying to get me to share personal stuff.
Eisen after dark. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. This is another reason why I might have been a little bit on edge and clapped back at somebody on Twitter that I normally wouldn't clap back at. It was just a bad night for this.
Or a good night.
Check mark to tell me to stick to football. So there was a package that arrived at the house, like this huge box of, you know, something that I don't, you know, it arrived. It was not expected. We did not expect. I didn't expect it. It was sent to me as a thank you. Okay. It was just a very large item that came to the house.
Right.
Just an absurd amount of bubble wrap was required for this item that I did not ask for. And came to the house, and you know, there's stuff coming to the house. It's holidays time, and you know, we're ordering gifts and stuff like that. And I'll let you know, despite your dreadfulness and the Lou Malnati's caper of 2020, something will be coming in your direction. Everybody here on the show will be.
Yes.
Rich, and thank you. Don't thank me. Thank Susie.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you so much.
Like, do you really need to know? You guys know the inner workings of the operation without me having to share here, okay? Yeah. But there's stuff coming out. So, well, let's open it. She's like, what is it?
Right.
It's not. This is not her doing. Bring it in, and we open it. It's just an insane amount of bubble wrap. And no matter, and any parent will know this. You know, certainly it's Hanukkah, and Susie's been trying to get thoughtful gifts for the kids, okay? And the kids, if it's like a photo or it's something to wear or something like that, they'll immediately look at it and just put it down. And Susie's kind of like, you know, just spent literally
all
weeks
this trouble.
To do this, right, all this trouble. So all of that is happening. And the thing that gives them the most joy out of everything is this friggin' bubble wrap. Jumping up and down on it. Three children just hopping up and down on just the pops of the bubble, just the cacophony of bubble wrapping.
Bubble wrap is really fun.
For these children to jump on.
In his mouth. Like,
oh, well, forget it.
That's not what you're supposed to. There's two other things.
Don't worry.
You're sitting,
bro. You're sitting next to a guy who probably still puts things in his mouth. Right next to you.
Right.
And he's in his 50s.
It's like, what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
It's so true.
And then there's one other item going on at home right now. There's a possibility of a third dog in the ether.
I thought you were going to say a kid, Rich.
No. That shop's closed. I'm getting photographs texted to me, the third dog.
Okay, so lay it out. So you have two labs at home, right?
We have retrievers.
Retrievers.
A golden retriever and a white golden, both rescues. The golden was found in a dumpster, for crying out loud, here in Southern California.
Right?
Halo.
Great.
And the white dog, Dylan, was tied to a boat near the California-Nevada border.
I guarantee you that boat had a name.
And it was not Two Pump Chump. I beat you to it. See?
Good one.
I got you.
Okay, so what are the deets on
this dog? This is a golden retriever that has been I don't want to use the word abandoned, but the owner can't have it anymore, and it's up for rescue.
I'm going to break something to you, pal.
Hold on.
Breaking news. You're getting a third dog. I mean, if she's already sending you the pictures and feeding you with the story of, you know, the dog's situation.
Here's the ultimate
problem. That means she's already got the dog in her
mind. Hold on a minute. Here's the ultimate problem. Three words. The kids know.
They know?
Oh,
they want it. Oh, yeah. Now each kid has a dog.
Dog, yeah, it's perfect.
It's perfect.
They can walk them. They can each. They're like start children with dire wolves.
Now you got a man-to-man situation. Dog to
start,
child.
Start children with dire wolves.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're start kids with dire wolves.
This is a large dog. This is a large dog. Large enough for Todd Gurley's phone to drop on whatever's coming out of the dog. By the way, is everybody in the NFL just admitting they're going to the bathroom except Lamar Jackson? Did you see that yesterday? Todd Gurley tweeted that out.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, yeah. Todd Gurley tweeted out that he dropped his phone in the toilet while he's going, quote, unquote, number two.
Whoa.
And you responded to him, didn't you?
I did. I responded to him saying, you sure this didn't happen while you were getting an IV for cramps, Todd?
And then he
wrote, you do that?
And then he wrote to Lamar Jackson, yo, Lamar, any tips, my dude?
What's going on in the NFL?
This
segment's brought to you by oversharing.
I just sprayed my phone with Mrs. Meyer's cleaner and called it a day.
Oh,
by the way, it's like the 21st century version of Kevin Barlow's story.
It really is.
The phone was placed somewhere that it should not be immediately used again, and he cleaned it and started tweeting from it.
That's insane.
To let us know what's going on.
Now, none of you have ever dropped your phone. No.
In the toilet?
In the toilet?
No.
How do you do that?
Not in the toilet. Out of your mind.
I've almost done it.
I've done a near miss.
Guess what? If I did, I'm not telling you people. Does everything need to be shared in the 21st century?
Can
we keep some things private?
Not when it comes to Dookie. No.
What happened to you in New York City or
RJ used to have an apartment.
Richard Jefferson.
We played for the Nets in the early mid 2000s. So when going to New York, man, hanging out at his crib,
you see,
that was a fun time.
He was on the Nets from 01 to 08.
Yeah, those were good times.
He came right out of Arizona, stuck there in New Jersey. So you were hanging with him, huh? Early aughts,
yeah. Whenever I'd make it to New York.
So when I left the show called SportsCenter that he grew up watching me, that's what you were doing?
Yes, sir.
All right.
He had one of those apartments where you got in the elevator, guys, and takes you to the floor.
Straight up into the apartment.
It opens into the crib.
Oh, man, that's the life.
Lovely.
Yeah, you could have a third dog there.
You could also have a third dog at your crib.
What the hell is happening in my life with bubble wrap and third dogs? We're lucky. I mean, obviously, knock on wood if you're with me.
But, I mean,
everybody's healthy.
That's the important thing, right?
What's our poll question? End of hour. Rich Gannon's going to join us. Michael Smith. And then a news update. There is some fantasy football injury-related news for tonight.
Tonight's game, yeah. We got some stuff going on
for
tonight.
Okay, so tease for later on.
Pop culture poll today. It's Bill Pullman, 67th birthday, man. Who's the best movie president? Of course, Bill Pullman from Independence Day. Bill Pullman, Michael Douglas from The American President, Harrison Ford, Air Force
One. It's got to be Harrison Ford, Air Force
One. And Morgan Freeman has been the president twice. He's been the VP once. Morgan Freeman's amazing. So Harrison Ford leads right now, 33%.
Of course he does.
Bill Pullman, 23%. Morgan Freeman, 22%. Michael Douglas, 21%.
Oh, it's a tight race here.
Tight race.
Huh.
We're waiting for the mail vote.
By the way. God saying you missed Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln. I don't think an actual portrayal of a president is what we're looking for here.
The only other one I would have accepted if they had room for it. Kevin Klein and Dave is so great. So great. Love that movie.
He was.
Dave's
so do
awesome.
I.
Kevin Klein is like disappeared from movies. You're like, what, if you're going to get married to Phoebe Cates, you just tap out, right?
Tap out. He's got the Oscar.
That's
it. Phoebe Cates.
It was her birthday earlier this week, too.
By the way, A Fish Called Wanda that he won the Oscar for.
Amazing.
One of the greatest movies ever.
So funny.
John Cleese, Michael Palin are so funny in that one. And, of course, the great Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh, my gosh. Rich Gannon. By the way, I never said the words Rich Gannon after saying the words Jamie Lee Curtis. But that's what this show's for. Hour three coming up. We're still here. Look at that Gannon shot right there. A little Gannon fodder for you right there.
I watched him play in Blue when he was a Blue Hen.
Dude,
Delaware. My brother Frank was there.
Rich Gannon's career, and I want to touch upon this
with
him.
It's a really fascinating career.
A Philly guy. He went to St. Joe's Prep. You know, that was the battle of Joe Judge. That's the battle. You're going to see a ton of Stefanski, Joe Judge on Sunday Night Football.
They all went to the same high school,
they
right?
They did, and they battled for the same prep, like freshman quarterback spot.
Wow.
And Judge lost the gig to Stefanski, so Judge went to another school, a rival school, and became the star there.
Jeez.
You're going to hear this whole story. I mean, they're all over this on Sunday Night Football. You'll see it.
I love it.
He goes to that school, goes to Delaware, gets drafted by the Patriots, by the way, and winds up on the Vikings team that Jerry Burns coached to the NFC Championship game that year.
Burns.
Kicks around, winds up in Kansas City, finally gets a little bit of run there before he goes to Oakland, where he becomes the MVP of the league at age 37.
Yeah, the oldest MVP before Tom Brady a couple years ago.
Right. And then he spent a cup of coffee at NFL Network before CBS hires and puts him in the booth. So, and there's a lot to talk about with him. He's covering Colts and Texans this week. And it's Gruden tonight. He knows Gruden very well. Rich Gannon, when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hour 3 on Peacock and more.